am Kevin DeCristofano.
I'm Sean Flanagan. We are the Ninja Turtle Nerds, your weekly podcast where we discuss the penultimate issues twice, because we are on the second one for the same run. It'll never happen again. It's kind of a moment.
Yeah, they came back just to end it.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll get into it. I don't know how satisfying an ending it is, but yeah, I mean, yeah,
I really wonder if they had scripts that they came back for, like if they had scripts from back in the day where they had this all planned out and they condensed them a little bit into these three issues or what, because the dialogue seems really period accurate.
Yeah, it does. The story beats just seem rushed, but I don't know. It feels like the Rise of TMNT situation where I know there were more episodes and they were like, you're canceled, just figure it out. And they did the best they could. So maybe it was the same type of thing. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. The dialogue's spot on. But like,
yeah, I mentioned last week the thing where he said Donatello hacked a bunch of websites. And you wouldn't say it that way today. But back in 1999, you'd say it like that.
I feel like the pacing now is like you're skipping chapters in a movie. Like, that's how quick it's going now.
Yeah. It's like, okay, let's wrap it all up. We only have so many pages to finish this. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not going to talk too much about it because we can talk next issue when it actually concludes over how we thought the conclusion went. But yeah, let's get into talking about this. So this comic, it's all the same credits as last time. Listen to any other episode from our Image run if you want to hear who did this comic book. It came out in July of 2020, which the last issue also did, so there must have been like five Wednesdays that month or something. And you know, it happens sometimes where you get two releases that in the same month.
IDW was just like, you got them done? Yeah, great. Let's release them.
So let's go take a look back at July of 2020. This month in entertainment. Okay, so it's the same month as last week. So I had to, what I did was for movies here, for example, I did everything a little different. I found some different movies for us to talk about. So released in July 2020, we've got Deep Blue Sea 3.
Which was pretty good.
I didn't know there was a two.
Two, I want to say it's a bunch of smaller sharks, but they're all pretty entertaining. Three is good at least.
LL Cool J in all of them?
No. LL Cool J.
Did he even live from the first one?
He died,
right?
No, he lived. Oh. His parrot did not make it.
Oh, okay. He lived because his hat is like a shark fin. Helped him get out of there.
Yeah. And they are lacking
bluest,
any...
My hat is like a shark fin. Deepest, bluest, my hat is like a shark fin.
I don't think anyone remembers that but you.
No, they do. Trust me, they do.
But yeah, the sequels do not have any cool LL Cool J jams.
Well, then they're not worth nothing.
That's fair.
Another movie from this month was Greyhound, a Tom Hanks film.
Yeah, that was... Well, I guess that was 2020 and part of 2021, but that was, I think, originally was getting a theatrical release, and then pandemic, and then Apple bought it.
Yeah, I remember him promoting it. Like, I remember, it, and I think that was part of the promotion, was him talking about how they really wanted it to have a theatrical release. He was really big on that, and he was kind of bummed. Another World War II Tom Hanks film to add to the pile.
That's at least three. No. Maybe it's just two.
Two, Dump if snob. You include just like regular movies, but doesn't he narrate like 100 World War II documentaries?
Oh, yeah, because he produced all those HBO shows too, Band of Brothers. Yeah. And yeah, okay.
Yep. And then the other movie that I didn't bring up that the internet was probably upset last week that I didn't bring it up is Money Plane, starring Kelsey Grammer.
I don't know what that is.
Anything you want to do, you can do it on Money Plane, Sean. They're flying in international airways, so
that
That's basically the premise of
the premise.
It's one of those movies where like they like try to make a bad movie on purpose. You know what I mean?
Oh, the how to not say not make a cult movie.
I wouldn't say bad. I guess ridiculous. Like they make a ridiculous movie on purpose, trying to get a cult following.
Yeah, that's not how those work, guys. Unfortunately, that's how.
Unfortunately, it kind of does. Like I feel like people, the average, like not people like you and me, but the average person who isn't thinking too much about movies, I feel like I know people who would see the trailer for Money Plane and be like, "Oh my God, that looks so stupid. Let's go see it. I want to see it. I want to quote it for the next like 4 weeks straight." Like I know the type of person that would fall into this, not realizing like, dude, they're doing that completely intentionally. Like nobody working on Money Plane thought it was going to be a great movie.
So here's something, the only thing I found interesting about Money Plane, because I haven't seen it, other than Kelsey Grammer, I guess they needed a paycheck. The guy who directed it was the voice of TJ Detweiler on Recess.
Ooh, that is cool.
So
TJ.
He's fallen pretty far, I guess, to be directing. Basically trying to catch that
snake. Or he's risen.
Snakes on a Plane mania that never happened. That was
That's
when
the perfect movie to compare it to is Snakes on a Plane, yeah.
Because I remember that was a big internet thing and then no one went to see it. And it just kind of
Well, they learned that lesson with Morbius, too. It's like just being internet big doesn't mean it translates into film dollars.
But
like, you know what I never heard anyone talk about with Morbius when they did that re-release? Everyone talked about how little money it made, but I never heard anyone break it down, because I saw somewhere the number of theaters it was in for that weekend and how much it made. And I just divided it out and I was like, oh my God, that movie made less than $100 a day per theater it was in.
So it was barely re-released.
Exactly. Yeah. That's crazy. So yeah, anyway,
Money Plane will be if, you know, it's on TV land in 40 years, maybe I'll watch it.
It'll be there. Billboard number one songs, Rockstar by DaBaby.
No idea.
I don't know it. Nope. And Nintendo Power doesn't exist in 2020. But what I have here is just as good. It's some sales charts. And a caveat I have for that is that Nintendo decides it doesn't want to participate in the video game industry at all. Like, so they don't share their eShop sales with anybody. And so if you hear a Nintendo title on this list, it actually sold way more because that's not including the eShop sales.
They're so weird about everything.
Yeah, I remember when I used to work at Target, I don't know if this is still true, but it was like, I think it was, is it Tuesdays most video games come out? I think it's Tuesdays, but Nintendo's came out on Friday. Like, they couldn't even release their games on the same day as everybody else.
I thought that was a Nintendo-specific thing.
Yeah, it is. Or at least as of when I used to work at Target, like, 10 years ago it was. Okay, so anyway, the video games that sold the month this comic book came out. Number 10 was Sword Art Online. Then there's, like, a subtitle. I can't read it. It's based on that anime. I don't know if you know it. There's an anime Sword Art Online.
Sure there is.
Number 9, Smash Brothers Ultimate, which again, it would have been higher on this list if they could have digital sales. Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Again, would have. You know what this probably was? This is just occurring to me. So there's a lot of Nintendo stuff on here. And we're in like the height of the pandemic where people are in lockdown in July of 2020. And I remember Nintendo Switches were like sold out everywhere. Like everybody bought a Switch if they didn't have one already for their pandemic. What's that word? Not pandemic. For their quarantine. So, yeah. Like I think that's why a lot of Nintendo titles are on this. Is everybody bought a Switch and hunkered down and they bought Mario Kart 8 deluxe, even though the game had been out for like 5 years. But it wasn't deluxe yet. And yeah, exactly. Number 7, Mortal Kombat 11. Number 6, Ring Fit Adventure. Number 5, Animal Crossing New Horizons.
That's a game.
Which was new at the time.
I feel like
that month, but
like that's one that sold like triple what it would have sold normally.
Oh, they released it early for the pandemic. Do you remember that? When locked, it wasn't much early. It was like a week early or something. You can find, Google it. You'll see. But yeah, when lockdown started in the U.S., people like petitioned online, like, Nintendo, can you release this early so we have something to do? And they did. They released Animal Crossing.
I've never been able to get in that series. I don't know if it's just because, you know, those...
It's funny on the opposite, because that's the only one I haven't played. And I didn't play it because I didn't get it when it came out. And then like a year later, I was thinking about it, but I was like, you know what? I like missed when everybody was playing it. So there's not really a point.
But
now
you can pay bills for real, and it's equally unsatisfying.
It's not about paying bills. Like, the thing that makes it fun is the collecting aspect, or like, yeah, pretty much collecting. Like, you collect, you know, a full set of ways to decorate your house or things like that. I don't know. I love the old ones. I still play my 3DS one. We're getting off track. Number 4, the number 4 best-selling game that month, The Last of Us Part 2. Number 3 was Paper Mario, The Origami King, which actually came out that month.
That's a little bit surprising it did that well, but okay.
It's a Mario game. It's going to do good.
All right.
Number 2, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Well, you know what? You're right about it. The Paper Mario game actually did better. It was probably the best-selling game that month, because this isn't including digital sales. Because that's what we talked about before the list. So, like, number 3, but the digital sales, it probably outsold this number 1. But anyway, the number 1 best-selling game officially is Ghost of Tsushima, which I have not played.
Well, I haven't played it either, just because I just, so many games, so little time. But I've heard it's really good. It does some Breath of the Wild stuff, I guess, with samurais, so there's not like a... They do some unique way to track quests. It's not like map-based. You like follow certain animals and things.
Oh,
interesting. I don't know. It sounded pretty cool.
Hmm. And then TV events. I just got the same ones from last time, because I thought, you know, this is what was going on in TV at the time. So if you were only kind of paying attention last week, here were the top streamed shows from July of 2020. Number 10 was The Babysitter's Club on Netflix, that revival one they did, not the original. Number 9, Frozen 2 on Disney Plus. Number 8, Down to Earth on Netflix. Number 7, The Office on Netflix, which makes sense because that was when they were taking The Office off of Netflix. That might have even been its last month. So like everyone was like binge watching it at the time. Even though people are pretty much always binge watching The Office. Number 6, The Floor is Lava on Netflix.
Is that like a Nickelodeon thing?
Dan didn't like it.
But is it like a Nickelodeon game show type deal?
Oh, yeah. It very, very much reminds me of, like, Legends of the Hidden Temple, but they don't give you a story. But like, the obstacles kind of do. And it kind of has an aggro crag at the end. There is, like, a thing they have to climb. It's just not nearly as big. But, like, after the main event, there's, like, the two teams that make it to the end have to, like, race up
this
thing.
I might check it out.
So, yeah, it's kind of... It's very Nickelodeon-y. It's good to just put on and laugh. You know, you laugh at... It's like the American Ninja Warrior or those type of shows. You're watching people fall down and get messy. The room, if you haven't seen the show, it's exactly what it sounds like. The floor is lava. So there's a bunch of things for people to hop and jump from thing to thing. inside a pool that is filled with what looks like lava, and they try not to fall into the lava. Number four was Hannah on Amazon. Number three, which is Hannah, it actually reminded me of Last of Us.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know what the actual story is about, but I remember seeing the trailer was like this like girl hunting in the woods. It's like feral girl. Number three, The Old Guard on Netflix. Number two, Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix. And number one was Hamilton on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I still haven't found the 7 hours Saturday to put aside Live for Hamilton. So
you had it for Zack Snyder's Justice League.
All right, that's fair.
No, it's not fair. I would much rather watch Zack Snyder's Justice League, and I don't even like Zack Snyder that much. But I like Batman. All right, so let's, for the second to last time, tell our listeners where they can find this. You can find this
on Comixology, or you can get the printed version. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends Volume 2.
You keep saying it that way, but that's also how you can get it digitally.
Too late to change it.
It's okay. I'm just scrolling back to the cover. So why don't you talk about
the cover? So the cover's just really funny to me because it's a giant robot holding Splinter with three of the turtles in back of him. And it just looks like Splinter got caught buying the turtles beer.
Yeah, he's being held up by his robe, and he looks quite shocked about the situation, so, as do the turtles.
I mean, to be fair, they're only 19, so he shouldn't be doing that. That's setting a bad example for his sons.
Well, you remember in issue number 2,
yes,
they asked April if she had any beer, and they were like 16 at the time, or I think they said 15, actually.
Well, you know.
And then there's the alternate cover, which was the original cover, I think.
I was going to say. Oh, no, so there is no
original
cover. Might have been a variant cover.
Yeah. It's a shadowy figure jumping towards Leonardo, and it says, "Who is Lady Shredder?" Which I would have been confused about if I picked up this book, because I would have been like, didn't they tell us that last issue? But we'll get into it.
So we do open on Lady Shredder having fun blasting away at the turtles with her morph guns. And,
because, again, she is basically wearing Carnage armor. It's not even like Venom. It's like Carnage. Like,
yeah,
she can,
you know,
make
what?
Her
that,
arms into
it,
weapons.
It was Venom when it was on Donnie, and now it's Carnage because it's on her. So that works perfectly.
Yeah.
So Karai intervenes, and I think this is when it's finally revealed, but Lady Shredder is Amai, Karai's daughter, who doesn't seem like a really big deal reveal because she, you know, but the issues before this, she's like, I know you, I know the turtles, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, the last time we saw you, you got shot during a fight in City at War, and the turtles showed up right then. Like, I don't know how she knows the turtles.
Yeah, that is weird that she would say she knows them, but the reveal is kind of like they're jerking you all over the place. They're sending you in so many different directions here, because you thought you got the reveal last issue, like I said, because Leonardo, when he was fighting her last issue, was like, oh, I remember that weird creature that Donatello put the armor on and then flew away. Yeah. That's who you are. And that's who we thought it was. But it turns out that creature was a shapeshifter, which we knew. It turns out that creature is actually Karai's daughter in the bed. And the armor attached itself to the actual Karai's daughter, and is kind of using her body, since she's brain dead, to exist, because
so
it's not on Donatello.
That part
anymore.
Feels very image to me, because it's very dark stuff. Like, you're basically saying she's still brain dead, and she's just being puppeteered by the armor now. But again, it doesn't come off.
And the person you've been caring for next to all this time is actually a shape-shifting alien that switched bodies.
Reasons. They don't ever really get into that, but...
So that she wouldn't go out looking for it.
So...
I'm guessing. They don't...
That's what I mean. They introduce so many things and then they don't answer things. But the Turtles and Pimlico just kind of bail on the fight. They've lost interest. I don't know. They just move on.
Yeah, they do kind of just like walk away and say like... Yeah, Leonardo literally says, "Come on, Pimlico, this train's leaving the station."
But guys...
And they take the shape-shifting alien with
them. I'm a my, kinda. Yeah, even we don't remember that. They just go away. So you get a moment here where Lord Komodo tells Lady Shredder to pursue the turtles. And as she's about to, Karai tries to stop her. And Amai stabs her. Which, you know, if it actually was her daughter in control, would have some gravity to it. But it just feels like a throwaway moment.
Well, the thing that makes it less dramatic is right before this interaction, she puts the Lady Shredder mask on. And I feel like this moment would have had way more weight if Karai had to look at her daughter's face. Even though she's not the one in control of the situation, it's still her daughter's body that's in this armor. And if she had to look at her daughter's face being the one that's stabbing her, that would have made this way more interesting. But instead they put the Shredder armor beforehand and the moment holds almost no weight. Especially when everyone reading this knew the story was ending. So it didn't really matter if Karai lives or dies.
Yay. Yeah, but you're
more
right.
On that the later in the story.
Aren't quite there here at the end, but so Leo starts complaining that his metal sword hand hurts. So Lurch suddenly just goes super sane and rips it off for him.
Well, before that I'd like to say, so it's not the sword hand,
the cap,
it's just a cap. And that's actually a note that I had. It's like a metal cap over the nub where his hand got cut off. I'm sorry if that's insensitive to, I don't know if there's like an official term for that. So the reason I'm bringing it up though, is I've been paying attention ever since the sword part was introduced where he's like, look what I can do. I can make a sword happen. It has never come up again. In all the fights I've checked, he doesn't ever use it as a sword. It was just like set up and then never
that
used.
That sounds about right.
So it shows that he could have had a sword hand, but then he never has a sword hand after.
So now that the cap has been removed, it turns out that his hand is grown back. Which is why he was growing, why he was
back.
Uncomfortable. But there's no time for explanations because we go to Master Splinter, who wakes up and says gasp because we're in Image Comics still. And if we're going to have sound effects, people are going to say them.
I have to say, I love the way they draw Splinter. We haven't commented on that in a while. He definitely looks very rat-like in these. He does not look like he might be a dog.
Yes, they nail the rat look. And Mikey, who has kind of been a source of information through this run, but he's also an author, so I guess it makes sense. Lets us know that Splinter just woke up from a 2-day coma where apparently they just left him in a chair. That doesn't seem like...
Yeah, I have a note about this.
No.
I know I keep jumping in, but... since we're almost at the end now, I feel like this is a good spot to say this. This whole volume, they're so casual about everything. Like, Michelangelo is just, like, casually like, hey, you okay? You were in a coma for 2 days. And, like, it's just like, I feel like just a few pages ago when Leonardo's hand was growing back, they were pretty casual about that. They're like, oh, look, the hand's growing. Kind of, it's cool, I guess. And even when he got the hand bit off, he didn't seem too broken up about it. Like, all of these big things happen, and they acknowledge them, but they're never like, oh my god, like, this is gonna change everything. Like, when Raphael got his face all messed up, he hasn't even commented on the fact that he's got half his face all scarred.
Mikey forever. Was concerned, because he tried to help him out. But after that, they forgot about it. But I do like that such a serious thing, and they just left him in a chair for 2 days. Probably should be laying down, but what do I know? So, Splinter freaks out and attacks Mikey and Klunk and tries to escape. And as he opens the door, Dr. Z, in his newly adopted Donnie cyborg body, stops him. And,
this is some great armor.
It really is.
The kind of armor Baxter Stockman wished he had in Volume 2.
I guess I'll bring this up now. Is it weird Dr. Z's the only Outram to put his brain where the head would actually be?
That is interesting. He doesn't put it in the stomach area, you're right. He puts it, like, in between the shoulders, so...
Does that have something to do with his degree that we still don't know how he obtained?
It looks really cool.
It's a good look.
I love the design.
I don't know. It's just, it seems like having the placement of the brain almost feels like a status thing. So I'm surprised they've never played with it, really.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The reason I'm saying we'll get back to it, I don't even know if it'll come up next volume, but I think when we get to IDW, I think IDW's Krang does do this at some point, but I could be wrong.
So it turns out Splinter's body is still being inhabited by Cheng. So.
Yep, and that's why he freaked out. And Michelangelo says he punched both me and Klunk, and I was like, he kicked you?
And
get it right,
since
Michelangelo.
This is volume 3 and in continuity, Michelangelo doesn't seem nearly as upset as he should be that Klunk was hit.
Well, then the next thing we see is we're going to see Chang in the back to tank tubes, and they've switched bodies, kind of like you just said. And I feel like they just wanted to get one last body problem in before the volume was over. It's like they haven't gotten it out of their system yet, because Donatello, like, we've had body swaps, we've had hands get cut off, we've had faces get scarred, we've had, like, so everyone's getting, again, Michelangelo, the only one to come out of this volume without some sort of damage, unless you count the humans like Casey and April.
Yeah, so we go back to the, you know, the mystery tubes with bodies. It turns out Karai's also in one, so she's not dead. But, and again, this is the strength and the weakness of the whole run, and it gets into maybe they had more planned and just had to cram. But so the plan with these bodies is they're basically all the backups for Lady Shredder, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to reread this or something, because I feel like they give two different explanations for this, because you're right. They do. Lady Shredder does say that these are my backups for when the body I'm using now can't function anymore. But then next issue, they treat it like, does the plan change at some point? I can't remember,
because like
they talk about it like it's a cyborg armor.
No, you're right.
Army. So I think the plan changes.
Lord Komodo is tired of waiting for someone to capture a turtle, so he found one of his Komodo brothers, who happens to be the one that bit Leo's hand off. And, you know, they're trying to study the mutagen in his blood. And this led to my favorite moment in this issue, is when Lord Komodo's kind of showing Lady Shredder, you know, we're testing on him, and they show the other Komodo sitting in the chair being tested. He's waving. I just thought that was funny, like, hey, bro, yeah, I'm helping.
Those must be the same kind of chairs that the Triceratons have, because you remember way back when we wonder how they sat in chairs with those tails?
So we go back to the turtles, and we learn that Dr. Z has been treating Donatello and healing him by by removing the organic metal pieces from his body. They don't explain how he's doing it, but that's what he's been up to.
Well, I think they touched on it last issue where he mentioned that Donatello's body has been healing itself. And I feel like between this and Leonardo's hand, and I can only speculate here, but I think if one of their plans was if the comic had continued going, they might have done this thing where the mutagen gave them sort of like a healing factor.
Yeah, because... So Donnie's on the men, Leo's on the men, Raph, no.
That's what I was going to say. It would have been interesting to see why Raph's face hasn't started healing, but maybe that would have been the next thing that happened, because like maybe it takes a while to kick in or something. But I don't know how I would have felt about that, because it would have been cool to see as like almost like all of this stuff where we, again, we scarred every single turtle except Mikey as like a setup for them planning, we're doing this because we want to do a storyline eventually where the mutagen helps them heal. And this is all set up for that. But I feel like they would have had to have walked that back at some point, because you can't keep them like it. You know, everyone talks about Wolverine's healing factor as basically making him overpowered, and it would have been that times four.
Yeah, that's true. So Dr. Z mentions that he's made Donnie a metal shell for now.
But, sorry to interrupt you again, but I'm just thinking of this now as we go. But maybe that's why they made it take so many issues to start healing, is it's not like Wolverine, where they heal instantly. Maybe it is something that takes time, but if they can get away from the danger.
So they have this little moment where Dr. Z says he's made a metal shell for Donnie while he's healing, because it makes sense that mm-hmm. would take longer to reform. So I thought that was a cool little detail. And again, maybe if the run had continued, they would have gotten into that more.
First metal shell for Donatello.
So Casey and April just show up. I feel like it was just like, hey guys, we're still here. We got a lawyer now. It's like, okay.
Yeah, because of the cliffhanger they left him on where there was no funds in the bank.
And at this point, I was kind of okay with Casey and April just not being there, because they're not doing anything interesting anymore. And then you get one of the funniest moments, because they're like, all right, we got to get out there. You know, you guys stay here, guard the place. We got to find the Kunoishas. And immediately, like she was just waiting off stage, Pimiko comes through the door and tosses down a bunch of Kunoichi she has captured. But they look like they're the size of dolls, the way it's drawn. So the scale is all off. So I was like, yeah, good for you. You get all your tiny, you know, Malibu Barbie sized ones. Now you gotta go get the full sized.
I like on the page just before that, up top, Splinter has these, like, evil eyes now, because we know it's Chang in his body. So he's got these, like, angry eyes always.
So the plan now is to have Splinter Chang lead the turtles to Komodo's lair.
Literally on a leash. They put, like, I mean, it's around his chest, so it's kind of like when you see, like, the leash they put on, like, little kids at the mall. But they're literally following him on a leash, like, take us there, boy. What do you smell?
And, that's where we end the issue, is them being led by Splinter on a leash through the sewer.
And that is the setup for what will be the conclusion of Volume 3 of Ninja Turtles. So be sure to tune in next week and hear us talk all about that conclusion. But before then, we got some ratings and some titling to do. So what did you think of this issue?
So I did give it a 4 because there was enough in it I liked that it kind of balanced out the stuff that didn't work for me. Because again, I feel like they're just still trying to introduce too many things. And it's like, guys, you have one issue left. How many more things are you going to introduce before you wrap this up? And then my title is just Shred Like a Lady.
That's a good title. I gave it a 3.8 because I don't think it's quite at a 4 yet, but it was, you know, it was decent. It was good. Wasn't the best. And my title for the issue is Body Swap Part 4, The Swappening. Because this is the fourth body swap we've seen in Image Comics Turtles.
Oh, man. That's good. I like that one. It's almost like, I don't know, that I give the creative team credit that they got that in there. If that's what they wanted to accomplish, then job well done. Because they were hell-bent on body swaps.
So yeah, like I just said, we'll be concluding this run next issue, and then take a little break, and then we'll be back for season 4. There'll be some bonus episodes in between. But before then, why don't we toss it over to Future Kevin, see what's going on the week this episode comes out. Wow, this was our longest season ever, and it's only got one episode left. That's crazy to me. I thought this season was going to go on and on and on, but here we are at the end. And Sean and I are already talking about doing the bonus episode where we analyze the fan-made ending to the Image Comics run. So we'll be doing that pretty soon. Next week, tune in to hear the IDW version of the ending of the Image Comics run, and we'll be probably giving our thoughts as the volume as a whole and the season as a whole. So tune in then. Also tune into Nintendo Therapy. We just did an episode about the Mario Brothers movie, which everyone in the world seems to have seen. So you don't have to worry about spoilers because chances are you saw it. And yeah, so Nintendo Therapy, we did both Mario movies, actually, because we talked about the 93 movie. And as far as Ninja Turtle news, though, not a whole lot to talk about here. Just make sure you follow us on Twitter at TMNT Nerds. We also got a Instagram at TMNT Nerds that I really should update more often. We've got email, tmntnerds@gmail.com. And again, Nintendo Therapy on Twitter is where we mainly use that one. We've got a Reddit subreddit thing for that too, Nintendo Therapy. So if you like Nintendo, go get that. Other than that, we'll see you guys next week for the conclusion of the Image Comics Ninja Turtles.